Voices Radio Network.
Blood, Sweat, and Gear with Skip Hill. I'm Scott McNally. We've got no S2H with us currently. He's driving across Texas. Skip, this is going to be almost a rebirth, if you will, here at the Think Big Bodybuilding Media channel on YouTube. You know, I know that we've had a lot of new people. Do you like that, by the way? Like
I want one of those cups.
My amazing girlfriend got it for me. It was my birthday, and she said she sent it. She sent it out this way, so she ordered it for me. I didn't know that she was doing that, and I thought it was a great idea because now I feel like Dave Letterman sitting here, you know, with my coffee at my desk. But yeah, so I have been getting messages, you know, on the new YouTube page. A few of them, and then I've gotten a few DMs through Instagram. People who are just now finding the shows, guys. You know, we've been doing audio podcasting since 2015 or 16, and before Skip and I worked together, he had a show called PED Radio that was on Project Bodybuilding, which was one of my favorite programs for a long time. And this has basically become an extension of that, Blood, Sweat, and Gear. Now that Project Bodybuilding is gone, we've moved on to this. We're about 70 episodes deep, so. You know, and I think we got another 70 in us, maybe at least another 30, at least one. We could do one. We could do one more here.
You can count on this one.
Yes. I like that. But I wanted to kind of give a quick intro to everybody who's watching this show for the first time. You know, we do bodybuilding Q&A. We've got a Facebook group. We used to have a message board at vicesradio.com, but we found nobody does message boards anymore, you know, unless you're buying gear, basically. So we backed off from that, and we're taking questions over at the Advices Radio Facebook group for the show. We got threads for this show and for Drugs and Stuff and for Muscle Minds, different programs that we put out where we answer listener questions and, you know, make topics out of them. We've got Skip Hill here. You've been coaching. I don't know if I'd call you like the OG of internet coaching, online coaching, but you are like the very next step. Because I know there are guys like Mike Davies who were doing coaching through the mail, basically. Like, you know,
right.
You'd email, you'd send Polaroids or whatever. Yeah. And then once email came, you know, then they were using that too. But I think you were one of the first people that really took advantage of making a name for yourself. Like, how long ago was that now, Skip, that you started coaching people online?
Basically, when AOL was dial-up, and it would make that really weird noise when you connected to the internet, and there was Netscape and AOL mail. You've got mail.
That's a long fucking time ago, man.
Yeah, a lot of people hear that. You've got mail. But but if you actually heard it when you had mail, then you're as old as I am. Yeah, it's been a long time. I mean, it's back when, you know, there were no graphics or anything on the message boards back then.
Back when porn had to load slowly down the page.
Yeah, right. I've been told, yes.
Yeah, from what I've heard. Yeah.
I mean, it's like 02, 01. I mean, it's back right at the beginning of 2000s. I was messing around 98, 99, but man, it was a different animal. It was a different animal for sure.
And you also have the message board, which is still around, Intense Muscle. That's the home of DC Training. So, you know, not only were you coaching, you ran that message board. You still have it. And that's where, like I said, DC came up. So you got to see everything Dante was doing. Like, you saw Cycles for Pennies posted right when it was posted.
Absolutely.
You know, and I'm sure all you guys know what DC Training is. So, you know, we won't even have to go there. But so you saw that happen, man. You saw, I mean, you know, Dusty, he's part of the network here over at It's Just Bodybuilding. Dusty and Ron do that show. I mean, Dusty was one of the originals, wasn't he? That, I mean, DC had been around for a while, but he latched onto that, and he made a lot of muscle for himself with that. Am I right?
I'll tell you what, Intense Muscle is so old that was when Dusty had no muscle and was a skinny dude. So if you go to Intense Muscle and you search back, what, 14, 15, 16 years ago.
Yeah.
You will probably, well, it, that would be before he was probably there. I don't think he, didn't he start probably 05? We started in 04. Okay. I'm thinking 05, 06. There's some skinny pictures of Dusty back in the day. That's there's skinny funny, pictures man. Of everybody. I got skinny pictures of Steve Cuculo.
Yeah.
On stage at, you know, doing the Teenage Kalamazoo with Justin Harris.
Yeah.
It's along to Shelby. I don't think Shelby had started when Intense Muscle started. So,
yeah,
man, there's a lot of information there. And that's the reason that I keep it. There's two main reasons. Number one, I still train my clients from my private forum there because I've been doing that from the start. And it's a very organized and great way to, you know, to train and correspond with my clients. But the other thing is, you know, there since 2004, there's just a ton of information there that is archived and pictures and discussions with people that you'd be surprised, you know, were Mountain Dog before anybody knew who Mountain Dog was.
Yeah.
Things like that. So there's just a ton of information there. So if anybody's not a ton of traffic, you know, message boards or message boards and they've been pushed to the side, but there's a ton of information there.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. And you can figure out, you know, everything that was available to teach people how to do something like DC training when it first started is still there. So I'm sure a lot of people still visit and check it out. Though, oh yeah, you know, man, message boards are not as popular as they once were. Anyway, we got Skip here. We've got a bunch of listener questions. And normally we have our cohort, Scott, S2H, semi-anonymous Scott, who how would we describe Scott for anybody that hasn't listened to the show or watched
Enigmatic. Yeah. Enigmatic. Nobody knows what he looks like. We don't know.
Even
what
us. Barely. Like. Barely.
Yeah.
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 He keeps pretty private and he's got some good information though. When we want to turn to some of the science stuff, he knows a lot of stuff. So we turn to him in some cases, you know, where it's an answer that Skip isn't necessarily comfortable with tackling. But so we're going to see what we can handle today without him, because like I said, he's traveling across the country or across Texas, which is like the size of its own country. Right. But, you know, as far as it goes, I'm just going to pull up here from the top, dude, every freaking time I let my laptop go for a minute, the screen comes back and then I have to type my password back in. I got to fix that. All right. So I know that we've got a bunch of questions here. I'm going to start from the top. Where are we at here? Okay. Yeah. I wanted to ask you about this, Skip, because I know in the past, did you have issues with your hemoglobin or was it hematocrit or basically both?
Yeah. Every RBCs, hematocrit and hemoglobin. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So, this guy, Chris, he says, someone was saying a lot of people attribute lethargy and high blood pressure to high hematocrit, but it's usually due to too much mineral and water retention due to whatever cycle they might be running. Otherwise, endurance athletes would not be able to run EPO with as high as they do. I know someone on advice has mentioned before, donating while on EQ defeats the purpose of running that compound, which would coincide with that theory. What are your thoughts, guys?
Okay, who is he referring to that said that?
It might have been Crossland. Dave okay. Crossland may have said that.
And that's
that.
Difficult because now the
you don't want to like
the listener wants to kind of pit us against subtly, maybe not, you know, meaning to, but I'll tell you what, I'll say this. I don't, and I'd be willing to listen to whoever said that in their explanation and to hear it out. I don't believe or see a reason that donating blood while taking EQ is defeating the purpose. You donate blood to keep your numbers from being dangerous, causing health problems, that sort of thing. So if you're taking EQ as an example and you're out of range, then giving blood or donating blood to lower those numbers, I don't see it to be like not work. I'm stumbling over my words, I guess. But, you know, if you were just going to, let's say you started a, your hematocrit is, you know, 45. I just throw an arbitrary number. And you get on EQ and you go up to 50 and you donate blood, you go back to 45. I guess in a situation like that, possibly, but I don't understand why that would be defeating the purpose. You don't use an anabolic, you don't use a compound to raise your RBCs, hematocrit, and hemoglobin. That's a side effect of the compound. It's not the reason you take the compound. So
yeah,
I'm not sure, you know, you're not going to use, in reference to EPO, you know, EPO isn't going to be used typically. He referred to endurance athletes. Endurance athletes aren't putting or using EPO on top of anabolic steroids or those types of compounds. So the rise that you would get from EPO, I don't know, would be off the charts unless you combine that with, you know, anabolics over time. So, and I'm going to say this because this is important. EPO is not my area of expertise.
Sure.
So if we have somebody like Crossland or somebody who knows EPO backwards and forwards, then great. I would ask them. I know it's been used in bodybuilding before, but it is not a compound that is frequently used or that a lot of people know much about, because it's not something that's used very often.
Yeah.
And I don't even know that it's used much anymore at all. I know there was a time period where it was and it was experimented with, but it's not a compound that is common.
Yeah, I remember hearing of one guy I know who was a national level bodybuilder who has a coach that everybody listening would know the name of the coach. And he had him use EPO to basically achieve more fullness on stage.
Sure. Yeah, as a peaking technique. But again, that's a very brief use, and that's not something that would be long term that I would think would have any type of implication. Of course, you know, you could assume and you could guess that if someone is right before a show, their RBCs, hematocrit, and hemoglobin may be quite high, and adding EPO could certainly be very dangerous. And not only that, but because it's before a show, if you add diuretics and you're thickening the blood, increasing the viscosity, that's probably a horrible, horrible compound. So, or horrible combination, not compound, but a horrible combination. And you're probably setting that person up and increasing the likelihood of a heart attack or stroke.
Yeah.
Probably 10, 20, 50 fold.
Especially imagine then you dehydrate them on top of all of that.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. If you're going to restrict water on top of all that. Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know the reference of, as far as the question related to EPO, maybe I just didn't understand it correctly, but you know, to use EQ, at least me responding, you know, or my response to the EQ part of it is I just don't see how that is, how that's counterproductive by lowering the RBCs, hematocrit, and hemoglobin. I don't see that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you for sure. You know, and one thing that I will add, and this is just from my personal experience when I had, you know, experimented with more anabolics in my own life, was that, you know, you, as your hematocrit goes up, that your blood gets thicker. And then when I realized I needed to donate, at the first time this happened to me, I wasn't aware of what was going on. Obviously now, a decade plus later, I'm very familiar with what's happening in somebody when their face starts getting really red all the time, when they get short of breath just walking up a flight of stairs. The reason that you're getting short of breath, the reason that you're feeling lethargic, is because your blood is so thick, it carries oxygen, but it's carrying oxygen more slowly. So you're not getting the oxygen that you need as rapidly as you should be because your blood is too thick. At least that's the way it's been explained to me.
Well, yeah, and it's exhaustive for the heart. The heart's absolutely working so much harder to pump thicker, more viscous fluid, basically your blood, through your system. It's exhausting and lethargic, sure. I think, though, that lethargy itself, to say, well, I feel lethargic and I feel exhausted, so it must be, and I'm not saying that the person who asked this question originally is saying this, but I want to make sure that the readers and the listeners, where I'm going, as sometimes I'm, you know, I'm exhausted here, some emotional exhaustion.
We'll have to, we should bring that up after this question, because we didn't let the audience know what was going on, but we'll touch on that. Let's finish this, though.
Yeah, but I think what it is that just because there's lethargy and someone feels lethargic and stuff doesn't necessarily mean that you have high RBCs and hematocrit. I think if someone's really in tune with their body, they're probably going to notice that.
Yeah.
But there are people that are pretty in tune with it and they don't feel that way. You know, like as an example, I can feel high blood pressure.
Yeah.
I can feel if my blood pressure is up. Not a lot of people can say that. They don't, you know, they may not know that.
That's why they call it the silent killer, right?
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
Most people don't get it.
Being, you know, a lack of awareness or, well, this is how I'm supposed to feel when I'm getting huge. There's that too. Yeah,
supposed to have headaches all the time. Yeah.
I'm supposed to bleed from my eyeballs.
All the time. All the time.
When I bend over to tie my shoes, I should feel like I'm going to pass out.
I should be able to check my heart rate when I bend over to tie my shoes, right?
Thump, thump. I can't do decline bench the day after having a cheeseburger because I feel like my head's going to blow up.
And it's purple. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly. The hematocrit too. So we didn't tell everybody. I know everybody who's listening over at devicesradio.com, they've heard, and maybe a handful of people that are watching the video. I don't know. And definitely I'm sure live people that are watching now on Facebook Live here. They know, you know, what's been going on. In fact, man, dude, I went all the way back the other day. I was looking at our history of podcasts for Advices Radio. Would you believe that? I think it was episode number 11 of Blood, Sweat, and Gear was one of the top listened to episodes out of everything we've done, out of all the shows, out of over 400 episodes of different programs for Advices, including, like, you know, great interviews with John Meadows and, you know, Jan Tana and every, I just think of them because I just, they came to mind. I talked about them recently, but like out of everybody we've interviewed and out of all the shows we've had, that was one of the most popular shows. And you had told me, you said that your mother-in-law in that episode had gotten sick and that she was going in for surgery for cancer and that you guys were going to travel back to Michigan. And so, not to be a downer, but that's where you're at now. And,
right,
you know, and I wanted to at least let the audience know, you know, kind of what was going on. So without, I don't want you to have to get into it if you don't want to, man, but, you know, do you want to say, you know, just a couple words?
Yeah, I mean, this isn't the usual backdrop. I'm at my mom's right now. She was kind enough to let me record here so I didn't have to record in the car like someone else we know. Some other
who's not even with us.
Yeah, enigmatic shadow man in the background. We've made a few trips back to Michigan. This one was more abrupt. And, you know, my wife's mother passed away a couple days ago. So it's been rough. It's been difficult, you know, for my wife and things like that. And, you know, for the whole family. So, yeah, without getting into it too much, because it is, you know, tough. It's been long and drawn out. And it was, I don't want to sound insensitive. It was time. You know, she battled. And in the end, it was, you know, she lost that battle. So, I'm more concerned. I laugh and try to add, you know, it's laugh or cry sort of thing sometimes, but you know, I haven't trained all week and it's the least of my concerns at this point because I'm trying to be supportive of my wife. And of course my youngest daughter is with us and our kids are coming in and out of town as well, because of this. And, you know, to watch my daughter go through it, our youngest daughter, she's done very well, and I'm proud of her too. And, you know, it's just, it kind of, how do I say, you know, it puts your gains in perspective.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly. Yeah. You know, and it is tough because, you know, I wanted to keep everything going. I started packing. I said, you know, this is just silly. I'm not, you know, there's too many other things that are more important right now that I need to deal with. And, you know, I'm going to go flat as shit eating once a day and I'm not going to train and my hormone level is going to be all over the place. And it is what it is. And when I get back, I'll clean it up and get back on track. I feel, you know, horrible for my wife, and it's difficult to watch her go through this and her sisters and of course my mother-in-law's husband as well, who was married for 30 years. And it starts to make you think of, you know, again, of your mortality. And I've talked about it and I've written about it in the past, and it's just, it's tough, and it has to be dealt with. It just is what it is. So that's why I'm back. I'll be back for another week because the funeral is not until next Friday. But then I'll be back home and I have somebody taking care of my awesome cats and the dog. to make sure that they're okay, and trying to get work done here is always rough, but it is what it is. So
yeah. I appreciate that. And I'm sure all the listeners do too, man. We appreciate being on the show too, you know.
And let me thank too, you know, my clients are, you know, incredible anyway. But they all have reached out and they've all had supportive things to say, and you know, I appreciate anybody who has said anything, because it has gone on for quite a while, and a lot of my clients know that it's been tough, and that I've made this you know, this journey a few times to Michigan, and I just want them to know that I do appreciate the thoughts for my wife and for me and for our family. It's very much appreciated.
That's cool, man. Yeah, that is really cool. So yeah, I figured we should say something. I didn't like address the audience to let them know what was up, but I know a lot of people have been kind of following along with this whole thing too. So
yeah.
Nonetheless, back to bodybuilding, man. And to let you guys know too, cause yeah, normally Skip is in his high tech studio.
Yeah, exactly.
which he's so proud of. He stapled the egg cartons to the wall all by himself. No, he didn't do that, guys.
It probably does sound better when I'm at home.
This, yeah, well, you got your mic and stuff, but we'll bear with it. We're just grateful that you're here. Hey, what's up, guys? Let's take a really quick break here just to thank our sponsor, TrueNutrition.com. Guys, I have been experimenting with the beta-alanine. I think I told you a little while ago that I picked a bag of it up. So like $25, it's probably a lifetime supply of beta-alanine. And I've been experimenting with my dosing, seeing what happens between 300 milligrams versus 600 versus more, and seeing what I get out of it. I've always gotten a really good experience with beta-alanine, and I'm even including that with my citrulline malate from True Nutrition. I throw those two things with my Pepto-Pro, which I drink right before I leave for the gym. And right before that, I eat my True Nutrition oatmeal. So I've been using the pancakes and syrup flavor. I have one cup of that followed by the concoction I just mentioned. And I go to the gym and I've been getting some incredible pumps, having been dieting for a while now. It's been a really cool experience, and all of my workouts have been totally sweet. So you guys can use our code to check out any of their products. We have the code ADVICES as well as the code Advices Oats, which gets you, that one will get you 25% off of their oatmeal blends. All right, guys, thanks for listening to that. And one more note, I want to thank Skip Hill. Thanks, Skip, for being on the show, brother, even though you're traveling and that you are going through a bunch of stuff with the family. So thank you for your time, and thank you for your company and your humor. This has been a fun episode, as always. And I look forward to brighter days. Guys, if you want to check out Skip's stuff, go to teamskip.com. You can find out more about his coaching there. You can reach out to him. And, of course, follow him on Instagram at Intense Muscle. You can follow me at Scott McNally 1. All right, guys, let's get back to the program. Question for Blood, Sweat, and Gear Gurus. Ooh, that's just you. I'm not gonna take that.
Just me.
Although I was at a pro bikini show this weekend with a client, and it was different, man. It's just the whole thing is just, it's different than bodybuilding. Like the people there, the coaches, there, it's a different breed, man. I could talk about that for the next hour. But
yeah,
I'm happy to be here. Let me put it that way. With my people. Every year during the last few weeks or so of prep, my jaw gets sore and swollen. Says you can actually see it in my cheeks. Could it be from clenching my jaw more? Certain pre-contest compounds, e.g. Winnie or Halo. It only happens during the end of prep and has happened the last 3 years. This is a client of mine, by the way.
Awesome. Oh, that's it?
That's it.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's not a compound. It's not anything else. It's exhaustion.
Yeah.
It's when the muscles of your jaw, it's from eating and it's exhausting and they get so pumped. And it's not, I got to explain to those who don't know too, and most people probably experienced it, not just the jaw muscles here, but the jaw muscles up in your.
Oh, yeah. I felt that. Yes. Yeah.
They will get so pumped. And it's funny because there are certain things that some of us bitch about that we can't eat during prep. And I love telling this because when I get really carb depleted and I'm loading, one of the things I like to eat the most is this cereal called Oatmeal Crisp. I think it's called Oatmeal Crisp by General Mills. And it's got, it's kind of like a whole grain, but it's real sweet, or pretty sweet, especially when you're depleted. But it has things like dried dates and fig and onion, or not onions. This is how fucked up I am. I know this is going to happen the whole show because it's emotionally exhausted. So anyway, not onions, but raisins. But yeah, I can't.
Similar. They're fucking the same.
I know, right? Exactly. I cannot fucking chew them. It's to the point where you're chewing and it's burning and you're like in the middle of a set of squash, you're like, nah, 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 and you're hell bent on finishing it. And then finally, you have to go,
yeah, you know that feeling.
With a mouthful of food, milk falling out your mouth, and you just wait for a minute like you're in between sets.
I know that feeling.
And then you go right back to like,
I get that on cheat meals toward the end. Oh. Yeah.
Man. So then the next question becomes, you have to think to yourself, you know, you're like, well, if I just really push this chewing, then the muscles in my jaw and everything else in my head, they'll get bigger, right? They'd have to. They'd have to. So my question is just don't question why. Just go to failure.
Go to failure. Chewing.
Yes. Go to failure and then stop rush between sets and then go right back at it.
Yeah. Or drop set like just a little bit less food.
Rest pause. Yeah.
Rest pause. Oh my God. So you think that's it, huh? Because I know I felt that too. I felt that like eating a cheat meal or something. I'm like, oh my God, this is so good. And then I'm like, but I can't eat anymore because my jaw, you know, it literally, you go to that point where like it's fatigued. It's legitimately fatigued. I know I felt that at least a few times.
And I think with a cheat meal too, I mean, who's not excited eating a cheat meal? You're eating it faster than you normally would. So you're working your ass off. And then all of a sudden you're like, I'm so hungry. I want to keep chewing, but my jaw muscles they're failing on me. You know, I'm sure that plays a part too. But even with your shitty chicken, boring foods, it's just exhaustion. That's why it's happening to him so late in the prep.
Every time. Yeah. Cause you said 3 weeks. We just, we did a show a couple weeks ago and he looked really good, but I know we could get a little bit leaner. So now we're pushing him a little bit harder. We waited on the Halo too. We didn't pull that trigger. I used to add Halo earlier, like 3 weeks out, something like that. And I know we've talked about Halo. It's that drug where like, you're like, well, I don't want to take the risk. I'll just take it. I don't want to take the risk of not like looking as hard as I could.
Right.
But we're just going to use it for just last little period, last couple of weeks. We got a couple guys that are coming in. I got one guy, man, another guy that is, and not this gentleman, another guy who competed last year at like 175. He made tremendous progress this year. He's on stage this year at 194 in like as lean as he could be. Like absolutely as lean as he could be. I should show you the pictures, man, but it's like it's that progress that like you just hope someone can make every year. Like if he can make that progress again next year, like he'd go pro. But realistically, are you going to gain another 20 pounds? I can't, but maybe he can, you know, we'll see. Right. We'll see. Right.
Yeah. Those guys you hate.
Yeah.
Because you're like, really? Like I've been doing this a long time and I would give anything to gain 10, 12 pounds in a year of just raw, clean muscle. That'd be nice.
What was the most you've ever gained like between contest seasons?
Oh man. I think since I've been back, I made most of my gains. I did not compete for about 10 years in the process of getting married, moving to starting family, moving to Colorado, that sort of thing. So when I came back to the stage in 2002, I was, I don't know, low 190s. Okay. So, I mean, I didn't really make any huge jumps. I would say that I probably made my biggest jumps when I was doing DC training between 04 and 07, I think. Okay. But it wasn't huge. Like, I didn't even jump out of the light heavy class. So I probably went from low 190s to, you know, the top. I had a hard time making the cutoff for 2007 and 2009, but I got under it at 198. So I never, but look, you've heard me say a million times, and it's true. I'm not trying to downplay it or anything else or be humble. I did not have and do not have great genetics. I've always had to fight for it. I mean, it took me 20 some years to get to, you know, to a national quality, a national stage. And that was still just juniors. I'm not genetically gifted. I have fought it for a long time.
Yeah. What do you think about guys like, now I just had Gary Turner on. By the time this show comes out, everybody will have seen, we did an episode of the segment I call Huge as Fuck. Gary was like, he's like, I don't have good genetics either. He's like, I started at 130 pounds and, you know, he's been lifting weights for 15 years now or whatever. And now he's like fucking 300 pounds. And he's like, I just keep eating and eating and eating. Is there, I mean, there's gotta be, and I'm not discounting his work because that dude does not quit. You know what I mean? Like he was talking on the episode that like he's standing up at somebody's wedding and he has like a protein shake in his hand the whole time. You know, he's eating like, you know, chicken in the back of his car during the reception and stuff, chicken and rice, you know, so he doesn't like go off plan ever. He does what he's supposed to do always. I mean, do you think that if you were to take the mindset of a Gary Turner that you, I mean, maybe you wouldn't have done some other things in your life then, but do you think that you could have done that? And I'm asking a legit question here because I ask myself the same thing. Do you think you could have done that then with your genetics?
I'll tell you what, if I thought it was possible, I would have done it.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that it wasn't, but it means that I'm so convinced that it wasn't possible that I wasn't willing. And listen, understand, there were times in my life where, see, it's funny because I give all this advice to people about, you know, how to balance things out for a reason, because there was a time where I wasn't balanced and I lived and breathed and thought that it, the more that I obsess on this, the better I will be at it. So I'm not trying to take anything from Gary and I don't want him to take this the wrong way, but I've been through the Gary phase and that sounds shitty and I don't mean it that way. So hear me out. I've been through OCD where I didn't care about other shit. I didn't care about what fucking job I had. I didn't care about how much money I made. Yeah. I didn't care about those types of things. And then I found out that it didn't seem to be paying off for me anyway, in the sense that it wasn't, you know, I wasn't becoming this more awesomer bodybuilder. Yeah. And in my, this is just my case. I was able to continue to progress over the years when I was more balanced than when I wasn't. So Gary, I would say this, I see, it's tough to hear from people that they have bad genetics when they're over 300 pounds and they're that big. And I'm going to relate it to my situation. I remember being 262 with man tits and look like fucking dog shit.
Okay.
So it's not just about, I understand he force feeds and he grows from it. The rest of us can force feed and become just fat fucks who look like dog shit. So to say that he has, doesn't have very good genetics because he started at 130 pounds is like saying the rest of us started as zygotes. I mean, we all started small at some point, with the exception of, you know, the people who you could.
Luke Sando.
Small group. Yeah.
Luke told us this story about how he was like farm boy strong, that like he said he went to some job site when he was younger and he didn't see what the other guys were doing, but they were moving these steel girders up a ladder. And he was like, so I just picked one up and I carried it up there. And he's like, and then I realized everybody was looking at me and they were all doing it two at a time. And he was like, well, why don't you just do it? Why don't you just put it over your shoulder? Like he didn't realize, like, because they physically couldn't do that. Like,
right.
And he just like grabbed that thing, throw it over his shoulder and walk up the ladder.
But again, genetics, you know, I try to remind people about this all the time. Genetics isn't just bone structure and, you know, muscle shape. Okay. There's so many more components that, you know, as an example, you know, Gary has a genetic predisposition to be able to use and his body to absorb nutrients that other people can't as well. So there's a lot of other.
I thought you're going a different direction. Do you think that to some extent he has a genetic disposition to have the mindset he does?
I just have to be clear that I think his mindset is something that you're probably not going to get huge like that without. I'm not trying to take away. He's got an insane work ethic,
right?
But the psyche and the way that he approaches it, and I would like to hear from him if he disagrees, because I'm going to say something that I haven't heard him say before. Okay. And if I am wrong or out of line, I want to hear him say it. And I will agree with him completely. I think he's a psychopath when it comes to, and I mean that as a compliment, believe me.
Okay. As when it comes to what?
Fucking crazy when it comes to the fact that nothing really, when it comes to growth and getting bigger, nothing matters. And I don't know, and I don't know him well, but I'm just saying the impression I get, the implication is he doesn't care about anything other than getting huge. And that includes consequence and everything. And I don't know what he takes or doesn't.
Yeah, I don't know, because he said that drugs, he does say that the high drugs, he touched on that. And he said that that wasn't the answer.
Okay. Then I would think that was great, because the implication I got was, by any means necessary. And I'm not, listen, it may not be my gig, but I'm not going to knock somebody. I've always said, live the way you want to live, make the decisions you want to make. I'm not going to be standing back here like some people in this industry when they die and then go, oh, well, I said, and if you'd have listened to me, I'm not that guy. I'll be like, you know what? The motherfucker went out doing what he wanted to do and made his own rules, and good for him. He was happy.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I like that. You know, I guess, you know what it comes down to, and I guess we got off on a big tangent here with this, but it's a conversation I've thought a lot about. You know, it's like, okay, but what about how much of that mindset could I be embracing, but I'm not, you know what I mean?
Sure.
You know,
because it's an honest question.
Because I do feel like I'm with you, Skip, in that there was a point where, I do, well, now, I'm kind of going, excuse me, let me just back up. I had too many thoughts happening at once, like you do sometimes. Okay. I look back and I recognize something that you said you saw in your life, that it didn't necessarily pay off the way that I would have expected it to, keeping several years straight of doing everything with the mindset of like all or nothing. And it was just several years. Gary's done this for over a decade plus, you know what I mean? Decade and a half, I think. But to me, it's like the benefit, it didn't equal what I thought it would. And so now I have backed off, where then I started discovering like, oh, well, maybe I don't have to make all of the sacrifices I was, and actually I'm making better progress and I'm happier. And that for me, it's like, well, you know, I'm definitely not huge. I'm definitely not Gary Turner. I accepted at some point down the road, like, well, I'm not going to be a pro bodybuilder. I accepted that one earlier on. I didn't have like the illusions like a lot of people had, you know, when I was younger. I just knew like that's probably not in my cards, you know, for a lot of reasons. But I thought to myself that I love this and I want to be good at it, and I want to be able to continue improving at my own level and enjoy what I'm doing. But I thought to myself like, okay, I'm improving, but I'm also enjoying, I'm also having that balance in my life. And so, much like you, I'm a proponent of having balance and remembering when it's possible, you know, because there are those periods where, and that's the thing, there's periods where you got to go all or nothing, you know, like in a prep, for instance, that last 8 weeks, you know, you don't have the opportunity to move your cardio to another time. You just do it when it needs to be done. You don't even think about switching it around, and it is going to affect your relationships, and it is going to affect other areas of your life. But maybe there's other points in life of the year when you can have a little bit more balance, when you can make those concessions, in my mind, and still get those things done, but find a little bit more balance. I just wonder. I wonder if I could push it further if I were to tighten that back down. Do you ever wonder that now, Skip? You ever wonder?
No.
Like, never. You never do. You never
do. I honestly don't. I really don't. I look at people like Dusty and I think to myself, it wouldn't have mattered what I did. I will never, ever, and was never going to be able to barbell row 545 fucking pounds for reps. That's just not going to happen. That would rip my spine right out of my back, and spinal gel would go flying across the gym. I don't know, something like that. It just is, it's never going to happen. And people will hear this and they will say, or could say, well, you know, Skip's limited himself. He's got a different psychological approach. He's not hardcore. Okay, fine. Right. All I'm going to say is, go ahead and say that. And I'm just going to say that with my experience and knowing my body as long as I have and doing as much, you know, it's funny because someone could say, well, I've tried everything in 10 years. Bitch, I've been training for 35 years. There's nothing really that I haven't tried. I've tried tons of drugs. I've tried little drugs. I've done massive calories. I've done limited. I've tried to stay lean. I've tried to get fat. I've tried everything. And I've done it not once, but fucking 10 times every different fucking way. It's just not. I feel very confident that there is nothing else I could be doing. And I'm making pretty good gains now. It doesn't look like it because I eat once a day for the last 5 days and I'm not hydrated. But for the most part, really, I've made probably some of my best gains in the last year. And that's after training for 35 years. But it's nothing. I'm not going to step on stage if I step on stage again. I'm not going to step on stage 15 pounds heavier. I'm not going to gain 15 pounds more after I've been training for 35 years and doing gear for well over 20. I'd love to think that that's possible.
Yeah.
But it's not.
I would like to inspire people out there to give it a try.
Oh,
but,
absolutely.
But I also feel like at the same time, don't kill yourself in the process. You know what I mean? It's like, you need to find out where you're at and what you're capable of. I think the only way to do that is by taking that attitude and by pushing that 100%, doing it and seeing what you can get out of it. And you'll find out, right? You'll find out.
Oh, absolutely. You know? I'm speaking definitely just only about me.
Yeah.
I'm not, look, if I had it to do all over again and I was in this age and I saw Dusty's rowing 545 and Luke Sandow moving the weight that he is, or even Ben Chow.
Oh, yeah.
Ben doesn't get very much attention because he stands next to Luke.
Yeah,
but Ben hard is act a retardedly strong motherfucker.
Yeah.
Holy shit. So if I had it to do over again, I'd be wanting to go balls out at 100% because I would want to move that kind of weight and be that size as well. So more power to anybody to do it. I don't ever want my advice to come across to somebody to not have that type of psychological approach or to be motivated, be far more motivated than what I'm admitting, you know, that I don't feel that was ever in the cards for me. And then maybe after you do it for 20 or 30 years, you might agree with me and go, look, I fucking tried everything I could and it wasn't going to happen. And I feel pretty confident there was nothing else I could do.
Yeah. I think it's good to be able to at least walk away and say that, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, I still preach balance and everything else because I admit, I think that, you know, I asked somebody, I don't know, maybe he's happy and he's married and he's got kids. I don't know what his motivations are. Maybe he's good. But there are people in that type of position who love what they do and training and everything else, but outside of that, they have nothing. And
you know,
I don't know.
He's a lucky dude.
Happy what he's doing.
I know that he's got a kid because I heard his kid in the background while we're recording, and it sounds like he has a happy life. He was, and you know, too, he works with Animal. What a better company to work for. Like,
yeah,
he does all of their social media stuff. So he said that, like, when you see like those slogans and stuff, he was like, he writes a lot of those things.
That's cool.
Which is like, that's him. And you know what's so cool about that is that it's like, they couldn't have found somebody better for their marketing because it's not like a team of guys sitting there with glasses on that are like, you know what sounds really hardcore? Write this down. It's like the guy who's actually fucking doing it is writing it down.
Not surprised knowing Animal's history.
Yeah.
That he is a part of that company. And if I own that company, I'd want that motherfucker representing my company too.
He is Animal, you know?
He's Animal.
Hey, you mentioned Ben Chow. I forgot to tell you, I met him for the first time at the Olympia.
Oh no,
he turned around and I was like, hey, what's up, man? My name's Scott from Advice. He's like, oh yeah. He was like, you know, he was like, Skip was my first coach. That was the first thing out of his mouth.
Yeah, he's a good dude, man. There's a hell of a backstory there with his motorcycle accident and everything he went through, and to come back from that and to be training again and shit, to be fucking walking again is impressive enough. But he's a solid dude. He's one of those guys that if I had a chance to hang out with, he'd be a lot of fun to hang out with and shoot the shit.
Well, get this. He lives in Texas now. He moved.
You know, I heard that he was talking about it, but I didn't know that he made the move. That's
yeah.
cool.
Yeah. So that, but right, well, that
hopefully
leaves
he doesn't hook up with dipshit S2H.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
I don't think anybody has to worry about that. If they did, no. They wouldn't know who he was, you know?
Right. Exactly.
All right. I'll get back to some questions here. Excuse me. I read a study saying that Synephrine increased fat oxidation during exercise compared to placebo, but I've never heard of it before. Do you know anything about synephrine?
Yeah. But it's not, you know, it's not considered. I mean, if you're going to talk about the big dogs that, you know, strip fat off of you, it's not considered in that same category.
Popular after ephedrine was taken off the dietary supplement market, didn't it, to kind of replace it?
Yeah, it did. And that's the downfall. That's the bitch of it. Because when something big like that is snatched out from underneath you,
yeah,
you can count on the next five things being desperation by the supplement companies to try to replace what was taken from them. And, you know, people, I don't know if people know because maybe they haven't been around a long time, but ephedrine was in Ripped Fuel when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
I mean, that shit has been around forever and it should have never come off the shelves anyway, because if you have 2 million people use something, you know, vaping is a good example. You got 2 million kids doing something. You got 5 cases of lung issues that might be associated with. No one's going to listen to that bullshit. You got 400,000 people dying from cigarettes every fucking day.
Right.
Or every year. So, I mean, no one's going to listen to that. The point is they should have never fucked with ephedrine and pulled it off the shelves anyway. So, you know, they started putting other bullshit in there. Not bullshit, because I'm sure that it can work. I wouldn't use it. No. I don't think it's as good as, it's damn sure not as good as Clen.
No, God, no. What would you take, Clen or ephedrine? Which would you prefer?
I don't do well with ephedrine because I don't sleep. It wires the fuck out of me.
Even if you take it like early?
I can sleep. Yeah. When I say early, I would have to take 2 doses. If I was going to bed at 11 o'clock at night, I couldn't, or midnight, I couldn't take that second dose past 2 p.m. or I wouldn't sleep. It always fucked my sleep up. Yeah.
So it just didn't break down, it sounds like.
It just remained in your system. That or... It was so many years ago that maybe my body would treat it differently now. Here's my thing. I just think Clen is like burning. Clen burning body fat is like melting butter in a pan for 90% of people.
Yeah.
So, you know, we could talk about the, you know, whether it Pac-Man's away heart tissue. And we can see studies on both sides. One says that's what it does. That it eats, I'm paraphrasing, but eats heart tissue. And then you have another study that says that in patients with congestive heart failure, that it actually rebuilds the tissue, you know, tissues of the heart. So pick your poison. It's the main reason. This is a good example as to one of the main reasons why I hate studies, because I'm not saying they're useless or anything, but you can almost always find a study on both sides of anything.
Yeah. I agree. So would you say Clen is your, because somebody asked, you know, so what is your favorite fat burner?
I definitely would say Clen. The Clen T3 combination, without going crazy on dosages, is number one. And it is arguably better than DMP, because DMP is such a dramatic, drastic, it works. I mean, we've been over this, you know, a million times before, but, you know, I put those side effects up there pretty high, and I don't think that DMP works any better. See, the thing is you can continue to take Clen or the Clen T3, T4 combination, repeatedly, and it can continue to be very effective. You can only really run DNP once, and don't ask me what the time frame is, because I don't know. I ran it once, it was really effective, and every fucking time after that I ran it, it wanted to kill me. And I've always said, even though I used it and experimented with it, I was pretty honest with how I felt about how well it worked, the side effects. And I'm telling you, though, and I want everybody, if they haven't heard me talk about this in the past, all I'm going to say is I remember being in my beautiful home in Colorado and it being 2 or 3 in the morning. And I looked up at the ceiling. I was in my basement, which is where our bedroom was. And it was like our lair or our, the whole basement was for me and, you know, for my wife and I. It was our giant bedroom. And I remember looking up at the ceiling and knowing that my kids were sleeping just above me, thinking to myself, and I'm not trying, you know, I'm not embellishing or anything else. I thought to myself, they have no idea that I could fucking die. And that I told you, I knew that I needed to go to the hospital, but I was worried that they would kill me at the hospital with how they would respond to it, because they wouldn't be well versed or understand the compound. And I knew that I had no choice. I had to ride it out myself.
And you called S2H.
I did. Yeah, I did. I don't. Yeah, I did.
you sound like you're like, I'm not proud of it.
No, I mean, I was, you know, honestly, I was desperate, and I don't regret calling him, but, and I know he doesn't mean anything by it, but he fucks with me really bad over me calling him.
Does he?
But I was, yeah, he does. You know, but I
know he messes with you, but I know he's joking, but does that bother you?
Yeah, it does a little
bit. It does?
To be honest with you. Yeah, because it was just so bad.
Okay. It was really he doesn't bad. Mean it. You know he doesn't mean it. But no, I can see what you mean, but it's still, because it was just such a traumatic event for you.
Yeah. What it does, though, is it makes me, I know a lot about a lot of shit, and I've done a lot of shit for a long time. And when it happened, I felt like, I felt stupid, I guess. And what happens is, then I was honest enough to talk about it, transparent enough to talk about it, so that people would understand how you can know your body and you can know what you're getting into, and it can go right, and then it can go really wrong.
Because it was going right at first. You were doing great with it.
It was great. It was a breeze, and my body dealt with it no problem, like it was nothing.
Yeah.
And then it just didn't.
Yeah.
The second time I ran it, and then I thought it was a fluke. People could argue and say, well, what the fuck? You should have known at that point. I thought it was a fluke because I didn't, there was no other reason for me to think. So I waited quite a while and ran it again. And it was horrible. And that's when things went bad. So when you already feel stupid about something and then someone else fucks with you about it a little bit, even though he was, you know, he's kidding and he's teasing, it reinforces that stupid feeling.
I could see that, man. Especially you're like, because you're a guy, you know, you're on the show here. We're coming to you because Skip has the answers. And then you feel like, well, I didn't have the answer to that one then at that time.
No,
which you couldn't, you know, dude.
I mean, you really feel that way. And the thing is it's, you know, I don't want to say that's how I know the things I know, but you know, anybody who learns a lot about something, and especially when it's trial and error, you have to make mistakes. But when you make mistakes that can almost kill you, and you don't even really know it at the time, you kind of think, yeah, oh my God, I could go out right. You remember I didn't sleep that night. I couldn't lie down. Yeah. I couldn't lie down because I knew that that was potentially going to take me out. It was rough. I mean, I gained 32 pounds. I mean, there was a lot of shit going on that just, it wasn't good. It was congestive heart failure. You know what I tell people is I don't want to rehash it any more than it was. There's a whole, probably two episodes on it.
Yeah.
A couple years ago.
Yeah.
A couple years ago. So it wasn't in 18. It Dude. Wasn't in 17. I think it was in 16 or 17.
It was had to be 17. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, 17, because I dieted all of 2017. And then once you did it, I did it for 5 days at a very low dose.
Yeah.
Got a couple questions here. This is from the same guy who gave us the would you rather question before. He says he's got a couple of funny ones here and a semi serious question, but it's like, it's super super generic though. I'm gonna warn you. What's your one compound steroid drug that you absolutely don't like? Did we just talk about it?
Well, I wouldn't consider. I don't think he's asking about it. I consider DMP more of an ancillary than I would.
He says steroid / drug / compound.
Oh, okay. Well, then it would definitely be DMP for sure. but if you're talking about just AAS, the one that I don't like, I'm not a fan of DECA.
Not at all, huh? Never?
No. I don't like compounds that, long esters that blow me up. I just don't like them. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't like nandrolones, because an NPP You know, I've run MPP and I like MPP a lot. The jury is still out on Primo. I'm currently running it at 600 milligrams as part of my cycle. And oh, really? I'm not sure I'm overly excited about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that I can say that I don't like it.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I'm completely in love with it. I don't know if I would use it again.
I got a price on that. Like, it doesn't make sense that it would. Let me see if I can find this. I'd have to dig back a little bit here. But I'm going to try here. I mean, the cost of test versus the cost of Primo. Okay, here we go. Test for 100 grams is $150, okay?
Are you talking about powder?
Raw powder.
Okay.
Primo, 100 grams is $2,000. Meaning you would have to sell a 10cc bottle of 100 milligrams per milliliter for $100 just to break even on your powder alone at that pricing.
Okay, so just let me make sure I understand this. 100 grams of each, right? Uh-huh. And one of them tests is $150?
Yep.
Versus $2,000?
Yep.
Okay, so about, what, 12 or 15 times over?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's hard for me to, because I don't know how the raw powder industry is these days, because I don't deal with raw powder like I did back when I was in the early 2000s. But I know that real Primo is far more expensive.
Okay.
That yeah. I do know.
So my question is, do you know that your Primo is real? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And there certainly is that question. I think what you have to, what it has to come down to, like it always does, is, you know, do you know your source? Do you trust your source? Or are you getting ripped off? And a lot of people trust their source and they're still getting ripped off. So, you know, it's a tough one. I would say, and I would put Anavar in that group as well, because a lot of Anavar is not real either. And so you really have to trust and you have to know your,
right.
You have to know what it feels like to be on Anavar and you have to know what to expect from it. And for someone who, you know, if you haven't run Primo before, or it's been years and years and years since you run it and you're running it with four other compounds, you may not know what that looks like either. So
true. I may or may not have another price for you. Just let's talk hypothetically that a kilo a test hypothetically might cost, we'll say $1,600 versus a hypothetical kilo of Primo may cost, hold on, I'm hypothetically thinking about this number that I just had right in front of me and now I don't see it, $14,440.
14,000 versus what was the kilo for test? I'm sorry.
I want to say it was like 1,400, 1,600.
Oh, okay. So 10 times over basically.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact of, is it real? I've been wanting to get a source on or a chemist on and ask like how legit is all the Primo out there? And if not, what are they using? And why would you even carry Primo if that was your gig? Because you can't make any money off of that, you know?
Well, does it matter what type of, because it's just powder, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one, you know, because I don't know how accurate. I mean, I'm assuming that your numbers are accurate.
Hypothetically speaking.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I mean, look, I can't say that the Primo that I'm using. See, this is a tough one because I can say pretty confidently that the Primo that I've used is legit.
Sure.
Only because it makes up such a big part of my cycle that if there was nothing there, it would definitely show and I would be able to say that there's nothing there.
Or if it was just now, like test sip.
Something else, sure. If it's something else, then that's possible too. Now, if it were a testosterone,
you probably
I think I'd be able to tell because I would see that through. I would see that in other ways, especially probably through estrogen and things like that. So yeah. It would almost have to be a non.
like Master on an Nth8 or something.
Yeah, it'd have to be something kind of out there, you know. Yeah. So
I don't know.
Even with something like Mastron, you know, if you were doing your blood work consistently, and you know, let's just say you had a regular test level or a test dosing, and you did your blood levels, and then you added Primo to it. If all of a sudden your free testosterone was significantly higher, you'd be thinking, "Well, Primo's not supposed to do that. What the fuck?"
Yeah, or you is know, it so, though? That will it bind to? So you're
well. It's not going to have. It's not going to have the impact on.
SHBG, like Mastron would.
Yeah, it's not going to have the impact that Mastron would. And you know, it's too bad that S2H is traveling cross state now, because that would be a good question for him. But I think that he would agree with me that it wouldn't have the impact on SHBG, which indirectly then, of course, impacts free testosterone.
I will make a note. Maybe at the end of the show, we'll give him a quick call on it, like while he's driving.
Yeah.
I'll make a note here. Primo versus Mast SHBG. And if we get the time, we will call him up. But back to the questions over here. And if I can find him, that is. There we go. Got a lot of gear questions today, I guess. I think that somebody wrote in a question that was not a gear question. Let's see here.
It was something on Melanotan, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah. No, there was, wasn't there? Let's go to that one. It's it had to do with melanotan dosing. Was that the thing that you had pointed out to me, Skip?
I think so, by Steve Black or something.
Yeah, what was this? Skip's advice on not getting sick while using melanotan. Any dose makes my stomach bad for days, to the point I'd actually vomit. Holy shit. Even 50 micrograms, believe it or not. I've tried different brands and all have the same effect on me. Whew. 50 micrograms. What are they? I remember the loading protocols when it first was getting popular. People were doing like, what was it? It's like a milligram a day for like one whole bottle for 10 days or whatever. And then they would back it down to like a milligram a few times a week or a couple times a week. I can't remember, man, but I did that. And I got real dark. My skin has changed permanently. Like, I'm positive of it. I'll tan like one time, and then I get this like crazy tan. Like, and I used to be like the guy, like my dad, for instance, who subsequently has gotten a lot of skin cancer now. We used to go out when we were kids, when I was a kid, my sister and I were kids. My parents would take us out to the lake, and he's, you know, we're super Irish, especially my dad. He's 100%. Red beard, you know, fair skin. We go in the sun, man, and he would just fry. That was it. That was his version of tanning, was just fry, turn red and then turn white. I was like that. Now with the melanotan, I turn a little bit red at first, and then I just turn brown and I stay that way. It's still like reddish, but that's just the tone, you know. But it's like, you can't tell now, I'm sure, but like, this is way darker. Like, I used to be super pasty. So it's permanently changed my skin, but I can't take the stuff anymore, man. It makes me really sick when I get that. You take that shot, and even if it's a little, like, you know, 100 micrograms, 200 micrograms, start feeling like flush and nauseous. I just can't do it, man. And it sounds like this guy, he said even 50 micrograms, he's getting sick. What do you think?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of ways that you can kind of dumb it down. The other thing is typically even small doses will, the first couple doses, even if they're low dose, will tend to have that impact to the point of throwing up. That's, you know, it makes me, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to go, and I don't want him to get mad at me, Steve Black, but hear me out. Okay. There are plenty of people who have made dosing mistakes where they thought they were taking a specific dose and they weren't. All I'm gonna say is this: double and triple check your math, because you might not be right. 50 micrograms to make you look, if it makes you sick, you're just done with it, dude. You can't use it, because that's such a low dose. So here's what I would say take it, because you probably have a couple vials that you haven't taken because it's made you sick. So take a brand new vial, put 3 mil of backwater in it, and pull out 10 units. Okay. And I know this sounds very rudimentary, but 10 units is 1/10 of a mil. That means that I'm in insulin, and I'm not making fun because I have made them some mistake, and but I did it with insulin. So there's that. So you don't have to feel as stupid as me. Yeah. So what you do is you pull 10 units. That's all it is. It's fucking 10 units. It's the clicks, and it's fucking this much. 10 units is not this much.
It's not a full CC or full, yeah, full syringe.
And if that makes you sick, not if it just makes you a little like, oh man, damn, I felt that flush. If it makes you sick, you're done. You can't take it anymore because I'm giving you the dose that I use about 4 to 5 times a week. And I don't think anybody takes less than I do because my dose is very minimal. The other thing you can do is you don't take it on an empty stomach. You take it with a meal. That does help. The other thing is if it gets real bad, sometimes when people start dosing it, they'll dose it before bed because sometimes they can get to sleep before they feel any flush or before it actually hits them. Me, it'll hit me within fucking 5 minutes.
Me too.
If I'm gonna get it. Like right now, if I'm in Michigan, by the time I go home, I haven't used it in 2 weeks. The first couple doses, I'll feel it. I'll be like, oh, that sucks. But I also take it on an empty stomach shortly after I get up. And all I've really had is maybe coffee or a Monster. That's a little different. If I take it with a meal, for me, it's day and night. But the funny thing is people think that it'll eventually go away, and it won't. Even after using it for years and years and years and years, if there's a gap in time, or I have not used it, and I take it again, I will feel it. Hmm. So the other thing that's important to note is some people like to only take it 2 or 3 times a week. If you have any type of situation where it makes you feel flush or it makes your stomach feel shitty or nauseous, you need to take it every day so it's a smaller dose and you won't feel as bad doing that.
I know. Okay, guys, I got to tell you too. Now, Skip does look tan. We can see it in the cameras. When I met him, I met you. I mean, I'd listened to your podcast, you know, well before you even knew who I was. And then we met, you know, 2016-ish, somewhere in there. And we did not meet in person until this past year at the Arnold Classic, which, man, we already started talking about plans for the Arnold. So we're going to do, like, no, I mean, like me and some other people, we're going to have fun this upcoming. I mean, not that we didn't last year. Last year was a fucking blast,
right.
But it's going to be even better, man. And we can do wherever we podcast from for our group podcast. We'll be able to do like live video streaming podcasts. It's going to be nice. So fun.
That's cool.
But when people met Skip, he was so dark. They were like, oh, are you, you're good luck at the show. That's what they all said. They were like, well, good luck at the show.
It was funny because I'd walk into the door and the people working the door probably naturally assumed that I was a competitor until I showed them my wristband.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you don't need the wristband, guy. You're good to go. You're a competitor.
They're like, you're not really shredded, but you're lean enough that maybe you were just bad on your diet.
Yeah.
So you have a really good tan, we'll let you in.
Yeah.
I could probably get a backstage pad. Maybe that's what I need to do.
Yeah.
I don't have my I'm in the show. I'll show you my trunks. Yeah. Like pull my sweats out or something and you know.
Yeah, just put on your flip flops and like a long baggy shirt, you know? We'd be good to go. Right. We I'll be like your entourage. I'll be like, coming through, here's the champ, coming through. So you know what, speaking of shows, so I told you yesterday I went to there's the Powerhouse Classic and IFBB Pro Bikini contest that they had. And somebody said something to me that I thought was a really interesting observation. He's a guy who's been around bodybuilding a long time. He said he was sitting by the doors and it was like before a lot of people came in. And it's just this big auditorium, basically. You walk in, you swing a left, and there's the doors. Like you walk in. And this guy walks in. And he was tanned up. You obviously could tell he was going to compete. And he walked past. He didn't turn left. He just like walked straight and he stopped. And he looked around a little bit. And then he looked down the hall. And then he looked at the door and he was like, oh, you think they put some signs up or something? And my friend, this guy, he said, I just thought to myself at that moment. It was like, that guy's competing. Just based off his attitude, I bet he's not in shape. If he's complaining about that right now, I bet he's not in shape. And I thought about it, man. And isn't that so true? Wouldn't you make the same judgment call? Like if you heard someone come in and have that kind of attitude, I'd be like, oh yeah, I bet that guy's not ready for this. He's going to make some other excuses today too, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that type of attitude, I mean, that's a pretty easy call. There's one exception.
What's that?
And that is, I think it is anyway. And then I'll tell you and then ask you what you think. But I think the exception is this. you can be good but not have competed for a while and be unsure. And that can create that type of anxiety too.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? And the reason for that is I remember after I was down and out for 10, not down and out, but I mean, I didn't compete for 10 years and I moved to Colorado and I remember being very anxious about whether I was just going to get my ass kicked or not. And I didn't, but I was very anxious and very edgy about it. And I think the more, it almost cuts to the security issue. If you compete enough to where you consider yourself, maybe not a veteran, but you know, a seasoned competitor, you know how good you are or aren't.
Yeah.
And I think that it doesn't take away from the feeling of not winning, but it also doesn't make you as edgy and as anxious wondering where you stand. And I think that's a, you know, you could even go so far as to say, if it's a national show and it's someone who's pretty good, but they haven't been to the national level yet, they may have that as well. I still think your comment, by and large, the large majority of the time is very true.
And that was the case. I didn't know who the guy was. My buddy didn't tell me about this till afterward, but he said that was exactly the case and he was not in shape. But I could see where you're coming from. Yeah. I could see how you could possibly have that insecurity after not having done it for a while. I'm looking around to see, because I know there's a few questions we're missing here. We covered this one about estrogen and muscle growth. Gyno symptoms. There was a question somewhere back here that somebody asked about growth hormone. I don't know where it is, but he commented on the last video. He was like, "What up? You guys didn't answer my question about growth hormone." So I'm going to take the fall on this one, Skip. This is my bad.
You can't find it?
I can't find it.
Oh, okay.
I should have asked him. I was like, "Where?" Because he commented on the YouTube page, and I don't know where the hell it was out of everything, because it's kind of scattered a little bit. But we do have another question here that I'm going to get to. Let's see. Looks like it's a carving up question. I'm going to add it to the screen here. It says, "Guys, great podcast." This is from Kane. Thanks, Kane. He says, "What are your thoughts on carving up? Front load, fill, spill, and clean up, or back load and steady load, or steady load?" Just asking generally as a male bodybuilder. He looks like a big dude, too. He's got some muscle on him.
So he's talking about peaking for the show, not necessarily for metabolism throughout a prep, right?
I'm going to go for – yeah, I'm gonna agree. That's what he's probably going with here.
Well, I mean, he used the term fill and spill, and that's my term.
You made that term up?
I did.
Did you really? You coined that?
Actually, no, I did. It was in my longevity DVD. When I talked about it back in 2010, and where it gets its popularity, I think, is more, not that the longevity DVD wasn't popular, but John Meadows uses that term fill and spill, and he's given me credit for it before, but that's where it comes from. John had used it because I had used it.
No before, shit. I never knew that. I learned something new.
Well, that's because he's so fucking popular and the guy fucking is on every loop video in every gym across the country.
Right, right.
And I'm not. So there's that. But yes, that's funny. So now I'm glad I said that. And make no mistake. I mean, I'm not in any way implying that, you know, Meadows ripped me off. That's not the case at all.
That's going to be the headline of this video. It's going to be Skip Meadows rips off Skip.
Meadows is a thief.
That'll be the hashtags.
Motherfucker. Yeah. No, not at all. That's not the case. And like I said, he has probably said it so much that he's sick of saying it and assumes everybody knows. I mean,
I don't even know he said it. I've just heard it so many times, fill and spill.
Yeah. And so I don't know that anybody else has given me credit, because people in this industry are very, and it's not anything I need credit for. It's not like it's skip loading. It's just something that I coined, because it's the fill and spill process at its core is just basically you fill so hard and so much until you spill. And that's when you know that you're as full as you're going to get. And then you go back and my terminology or my mantra is you clean up the mess. And that usually takes 2 or 3 days and that's it. And you're pretty much ready to go. And then you know you're full as fuck. So the other thing is you're also done training at that time. By the time you fill and spill, that you're not going to deplete your body rapidly of glycogen because you're not training anymore.
I was just going to add, that's what I was going to ask you next, because, you know, obviously that's the next thing. It's like, well, okay, so you fill me up Monday through Wednesday, let's say. I spill over, you wake up Wednesday, I'm spilled over, you know, but now I still have 3 days. You're going to clean it up. But you're telling me then we're done with cardio, we're done with training, that glycogen is not going to go anywhere is what you're saying.
Yeah, or not very much of it. Your metabolism itself, and based on what your diet looks like, sometimes people get real radical and they go very low carb, high protein for the diuresis part of it, and then they're pushing off water. I don't feel you need to do that, because then you have a chance of depleting glycogen without weight training or without how much you're going to deplete it. That is an individual. If you've got a metabolism that you're just going to rip through calories and you don't have enough calories to maintain it, then you're not going to stay as full. But everybody's different when it comes to that. It doesn't take away from the fact that the fill and spill philosophy is very predictable, especially when you have been skip loading or having some type of skip loading protocol throughout your prep, because then you know how many days. You have a very good idea how many days it takes after the load before you're dry again.
But what's a skip load?
Nah. How much time you got? No, but I will say this, and I think this is important, because I have used that fill and spill method for God knows how long. It's very predictable. It's almost the most conservative, fail-safe, any idiot can fucking pull it off type of way to load and not take chances or any more risk than you need. But I will say that since within the last year, you know, I've come back to contest prep. I pulled away from it for quite a few years because I became a little jaded and I didn't like the egos that I was dealing with, that sort of shit. And within the last year, I've come back to really enjoying it and wanting to get back into it. And I've been doing a lot more prep. And one of the things that I have been doing, or basically my main thing that I have changed, is I'm using that fill and spill less, and I'm doing a different protocol that has been incredibly successful. And without getting it, you know, we could do this on a different show, it's getting late, but the detail is just basically that this is the Cliff Notes version. And my Team Skip approved trainers know about it because I've been talking about how effective it's been and how much I've used it, and I've gone into detail and they're like, holy shit. Basically what I do is I dry the fuck out of a competitor and then load them at the last minute. I say last minute, the last day, maybe day and a half. And while loading, add fluid back in. I'm almost drying them out so much, and they're depleted already, that I'm drying the fuck out of them. Flat, and then loading them with fluid so that they load real quick. And of course you have to load with fluid, because if you try loading dry, you're fucked. Yeah. And then what it is there is you then do not want to spill. You're filling, but you're filling to the point of not spilling, and you're hard as fuck. And the reason it's so effective too is when you, for shows that you don't have, like you're weighing in the night before, it's very effective for that, because it can push you down so much further in weight before you start to fill out again. The reason people can't do this one though on their own, you can do fill and spill on your own if you know what you're doing. This one you can't do on your own, because you don't know how, if you don't have experience doing this, you don't know how much fluid you can take in. And you either not take in enough and you're not going to fill out hardly at all, or you take in too much and you end up watering, you know, you end up, the floodgates open up. And anybody who's prepped or prep for shows or prep people, as soon as the floodgates open, you're fucked. There's no pulling it back. You don't have time to clean it up. You just have to ride it out.
Dude, I want to tell you how many people that I've worked with this year that have used a diuretic, but I don't want to jinx myself, because we still have a few shows left.
It may be. Well, I mean, if you don't want to say, that's fine. I'll tell you. Here's what I'll say, and then I'll say, I know, I figured as much. And here's a very nice contrast. Boy, my fingertips are really white.
You get some, melatonin is starting to drain from the fingers down.
Yeah. Ooh. Anyway, so you have zero, and I would say that I have probably prepped 3 people this year without a diuretic.
Okay.
So how's that for contra? And you know me and my history. I mean, there have been times where 90% of the time I don't use. This different protocol does have a diuretic component.
Okay.
But you're not, man, it's a big finger. Woo. but you're using the diuretic while you're not, while your water isn't restricted.
Yeah. Okay. I like so, this. This is interesting. This is a new skip. I like this. This is the new skip. In fact, Jim just said, first time watching the video, who's the black guy?
He meant sexy black guy.
The melanotin's apparently working. No, I like this. This is a new skip because you're back into contest prep and you're experimenting again. And I was trying to lead you, by the way, because I figure, like I said, man, we probably have a bunch of new people listening, reviewing the show. They may not know what a skip load is, but in short, it's basically your version of a shitload. But it's, what would be the main difference though? Timing?
Because, well, I mean, the skip load is used for 2 things. It's used for peaking for a show, but it's also, and that's how it started out, but then okay. It turned into the metabolic boost, usually used once a week to keep the metabolism off balance and to continue to keep you, you know, your metabolism firing and you getting leaner.
Okay.
Some people will call it a cheat. It's not, because it's not that simple.
Yeah.
It's typically high carb, low fat. So a version of, you know, I always said Matt Porter did and used very effectively a version of that, which was high carb, low fat, processed carbs, that sort of thing. But there's also the version that is what I consider to be moderate fat, moderate carb. And it's not fast food and it's not junk food, but it's a higher fat version for people who don't tolerate that huge amount or that surge of carbohydrate all at once.
I gotcha.
So there's a lot to it, but basically that's what it is. And it's primarily there to keep the metabolism off balance. But it started off as a peaking protocol and it still is used. I mean, I use that a lot. Matter of fact, I don't load. I can tell you, I don't remember the last time I've loaded a client on clean foods or clean carbs. It is my version of, now it depends on the person, whether it's going to be high carb, low fat or moderate fat, moderate carb, but because you always want to load with foods that your body is used to. So those foods will be foods that the body that for that particular client have already proved that they tolerate those foods well. And yeah. It's not a shock to the body. You know, if you haven't eaten pizza I don't use pizza for loading. I mean, I may on occasion, but it's not very often. If you load pizza and you haven't eaten pizza in 12 weeks, you're asking for trouble. And then don't come back and say, well, I skip loaded. I don't know what the fuck the problem was. That guy doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
No, your decision making is horrible because you did something that is not what I intended for you to do. And if you would have done it with me first, you'd know how to fucking do it. So there's that. Yeah.
All right. We're about out of questions here. James Hastings, he said, that we should do this show every week. So I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, S2H and I cannot tolerate each other. We struggle to tolerate each other every 2 weeks. 1 week would probably be pushing it.
I do the show with him 1 week and I do the show with you the next. And you guys just like talk about each other.
Right. Exactly. Oh, shit.
This is as good a time as any to wrap up. I didn't mention our sponsors, by the way, so I can throw an ad in somewhere during the middle of this program. But guys, check out our sponsor, TrueNutrition.com. You can use our codes, Advices and Advices Oats. Skip, I've been loading, by the way, before I train with oats now. I've been pretty low carb. I'd gotten into pretty good shape over the last few months. And I increased my carbs. It's just like my nutrition, really. Normally, I eat my meal. Usually I train after meal one or meal two. And I train about an hour after I eat. So I'll eat and then I go to the gym about 45 minutes, an hour later. But right before I leave for the gym, I'll make one cup of oats and I eat that. I'm using the True Nutrition flavored oats. I have the pancakes and syrup flavor, which is like the bomb. It's delicious. And then I do my pre-workout stimulant, like whatever I'm using right now, it's Forged Nutrition's product, and I mix that in with a scoop of Pepto Pro, so I get that 25 grams, 30 grams of high fast acting protein. along with that 60 carbs. And then I go to the gym and my pumps are incredible. Like it's been pretty cool and I'm getting full, like really full. Anyway, that's been my new experiment lately, but I'm getting that from True Nutrition. You can use our codes Advices or Advices Oats. The Advices Oats code will give you 25% off of any of the oatmeal blends. Of course, go to teamskip.com for everything Skip Hill. So if I hire you, Skip, I can learn about the new protocols, what you're telling me. And I'm like, dude, yeah. I want to prep. I want to diet down. And I want to do this shit you just were talking about.
If you pay me a retarded sum of money, I will teach you. Yes.
All right. Then I'm there. I'm done. And, of course, we mentioned the intense muscle message board. And, Skip, thanks, man. Thanks for all your time here, because I know that you are going through a lot with the family. And I hope that this has allowed you to at least, like, unplug for a minute and have some fun, yeah, talk bodybuilding, you know? Yeah. And James Hastings look forward to the show too. So that makes the three of us and anybody else who happens to be watching the replay on YouTube.
Well, thanks, hope I am fuller in 2 weeks and that my shoulders are a little
rounder.
Yeah. I'm eating once a day. When I don't train, I don't eat. Yeah. I eat once a day and that's about it. So it's
old man diet.
I know, right? No, it's not been a lot of fun, but I hope to look different. Maybe I don't look lean. I look a little puffy from all the pizza I ate last night.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably water retention from, you know, just not moving around enough food and stuff.
Honey bun, like when I piss, it's like brown. That's probably not a good smell.
God, no.
Yeah, I'm like, God, what stinks? Oh, that's just my urine. That's all it is.
All right, guys, for another episode of Blood, Sweat, and Gear with Skip Hill, I'm Scott McNally. Head over to the Advices Radio Facebook group if you want to ask questions for the next show. All right, guys, we'll see you soon. Thanks a lot, Skip. You diss on me? Cool. I don't need your assistance. Social persistence. Any problem I got, I just put my fist in. My life is violent, but violent is life. Peace is a dream, reality is a night. My colors, my honor, my colors, my all. With my colors upon me, one soldier stands tall. Tell me, what have you left me? What have I got? Last night in cold blood, my young brother got shot. My homeboy got jacked, my mother's on crack. My sister can't work cause her arms show tracks. Madness, insanity, live in profanity. Then some punk claiming they're understanding me. Give me a break, what world do you live in? Death is my set, guess my religion. Come, come, come. Advices Radio Network.